22. "Don't blame her, Major. There's nothing anyone could have done for him," Lorien said. Kanoa continued to look straight ahead as the two of them walked through the camp. Troops milled about in groups, some laughing and passing around bottles he chose not to notice, others staring out into the dark, their muskets clutched tightly in trembling hands. "I want the men kept busy," he said. "Don't give them a chance to think about this. I don't care if you have them digging latrines from now until sunrise, just don't let them think."
"I'll see to it, Major. But they're going to wonder what's going on, and if it's connected to what we're doing out here."
Kanoa nodded.
"You don't think this was a coincidence, then?"
Lorien shook his head.
"Good. If you did, I'd think the Duke had pawned a slow wit off on me."
A series of honks, answered by low, rumbling bellows, signaled the return of the Brindos and Murifants.
"At least the regiment still has a food source," Kanoa thought viciously.
A soldier marched up, holding a lantern, and handed Lorien a piece of parchment. Lorien gave it a quick look and grimaced.
"3 dead in A Company, 5 in B, and 1 in C, along with 22 wounded, 3 serious," Lorien said.
"How many Farrogs did we kill?" Kanoa asked, but he already knew the number would never be high enough.
5, maybe 600, Lorien replied. "It's not much compensation, but once the lads got over their shock, they performed well."
Kanoa nodded, stepping around an overturned kettle and a shredded haversack, its contents spilled on the ground and trampled in the dirt.
"I'd like several soldiers written up for commendations. Private Arkorn, for one."
He paused before saying the next bit.
"And there was a group who used swords. They saved me when I fell."
Lorien looked puzzled.
"You are right about the dwarf, sir. He's one hell of a fighter. But I don't know what other soldiers you mean. The men have their muskets, bayonets, and small daggers. I've no doubt a couple of them have a few other weapons stashed away. But other than Arkorn with his drukhar, and me and the other sergeants with our halberds, only officers carry swords, sir."
Kanoa laid his right hand across his chest, then quickly removed it when he saw Lorien watching him.
"It must have been muskets, then. Very well. Check with the other sergeants and have the list for me by dawn."
A commotion up beyond the next patch of vines halted further conversation. Kanoa drew his saber, and Sergeant Lorien brought his halberd to the ready. Sharing a silent look, they stepped around a mass of leafy stems, expecting another attack. Instead, they found a cloaked figure holding a lantern, kicking dead Farrogs into a pile.
"Rally?" Kanoa said. "Ah, Major, Sergeant Major," she said, looking up from her exertions to give them a friendly smile. "Pardon the mess, and mind your step. A few still have a bit of life left in them."
She laughed and gave a still twitching Farrog a swift kick, sending its body tumbling into the growing pile.
"I could have some soldiers take care of this," Kanoa said, noticing the wagon behind her appeared to have suffered no ill effects from the attack.
"Not at all," she said. "You two will be fine. Major, you can start over there. Sergeant Major, that group to your left, if you please. Tear off their legs. Leave them alive, would you?"
Lorien appeared ready to object, but Kanoa shook his head and began helping her move the bodies. Lorien looked around as if still expecting an attack, then joined in, spearing the dead bodies on the end of his halberd and adding them to the one pile, ripping off the legs of those still with life in them, and adding them to another.
"The prince was most upset," Rally said as she dragged two more bodies forward from under the wagon. "He was hoping his first battle would be against two-legged enemies."
"We'll have that soon enough," Kanoa replied, looking over at Lorien, who nodded in agreement.
Kanoa moved closer to Rally and lowered his voice.
"I thought the little nit was upset because the Farrogs ruined his tent."
Rally stood up straight, holding her back, and walking over to lean against the wagon. She pulled a cigar from beneath her cloak and had it lit in an instant, the glowing orange dot illuminating her face with devilish hues.
"He's soft, self-centered, and scared. A dangerous combination out here.
First blood has been spilled, and he was buried under a tent with me when it happened. His ego is rather fragile at the moment.
His ego? I don't give two shakes of a griffin's tail how fragile his ego is.
Was Rally actually defending him?
This was only the first of what we're going to face. 9 men have already paid the price, and more will surely follow.
Rally took the cigar out of her mouth and pointed to a spot behind Kanawha. He turned and hacked at a farrog, crawling toward him from out of the pile. Its carapace cracked and split open on the second blow. Lorien walked over and speared it back on top of the other bodies.
"The prince will learn, and you two will be the ones to teach him, with a little help from me," Rally said, chuckling as she stuck the cigar back in her mouth. "In fact, his lessons have already begun."
She reached into her cloak and drew forth a rolled piece of parchment.
"My interview with His Highness, where he expresses his personal condolences to the families of those slain."
"He actually expressed feeling for the lives of common soldiers?" Kanawha asked.
Lorien stopped spearing bodies and walked over to stand beside Kanawha.
"He will, once the news criers start repeating it," Rally said, her face breaking out into a huge grin from behind a cloud of dense smoke.
She reached down to grab a body, and then jumped back when it started to wriggle. She motioned to Lorien.
"Be a dear."
Lorien stepped forward and stuck the farrog, swung it over to the pile, then used his boot to knock it off the end of his halberd.
"Now, in order to show the public that the prince is indeed maturing into a thoughtful leader, I need to feed my darlings and send one of them on its way."
Rally walked past the heap of bodies and selected a particularly juicy-looking farrog. A shiny dagger materialized from within the folds of a sleeve, and Rally quickly had a dripping hunk of thorax in her hand. She carried it over to her wagon and lifted the flap of the canvas tarp covering the contents. There was an immediate frenzy inside, which set the wagon rocking violently on its wheels. Loud squawks emanated from under the tarp, and Kanawha could just make out a row of wooden cages. Rally tossed the meat through the bars of the first cage, and the squawking got even louder.
"There you are, my darlings. Nice fresh meat for a change."
She had Lorien pass her more hunks of farrog, a task he clearly found unpleasant, as she continued the feeding for each cage, tossing in flesh and speaking soothingly to whatever was inside.
"What are they, ma'am?"
Lorien asked, holding out a dripping piece of meat at arm's length.
"My messengers," she replied, opening the door to one of the cages and sticking her arm inside. "I used to use carrier pigeons to deliver my reports, but they got eaten more than they made it through. So far, these little beauties have avoided that fate."
She pulled her arm out, and with it a dark form perched on it.
"They're Shrieks's. Aren't they adorable?"
Kanawha stared with barely concealed disgust at the creature perched on Raleigh's arm. The bird, if that's what it was, flexed its wings, spreading leathery feathers that covered its entire body except for its huge curving talons, iridescent red eyes, and fanged, whiskered muzzle. He guessed it must weigh 20 pounds. Stringy bits of flesh still hung from its incongruous mouth as Raleigh stroked its back and cooed to it.
"You're my precious, aren't you, Martimus?" she said, nuzzling the Shrieks with her nose.
The Shrieks responded by closing its red eyes, then raising its snout in the air, howling.
"Lovely, aren't they?"
Rally asked, walking over to Kanawha and Lorien to let them have a better look. Lorien clenched his halberd a little tighter and quietly moved back to a safer distance. Kanawha was tempted to do the same, but held his ground.
"Never seen anything like it," he said truthfully, noticing for the first time a pungent aroma emanating from the beast.
"I'm not surprised," Rally said, holding out her arm and motioning for Kanawha to do the same. "I purchased a pair of these in a very special market a long, long way from here. Breed like rabbits.
The Royal Zoological Society is still trying to classify them.
Kanawha reluctantly held out his arm as Raleigh coaxed Martimus over to him. It leaned forward to grab the cloth of his jacket in its teeth, then hopped, both claws easily wrapping around his forearm as its full weight came to rest. Kanawha found himself in a staring contest with the creature, its red eyes growing brighter.
"Oh, don't do that, Major, or it'll think you want to mate," Raleigh said, walking back to her wagon, where she began rolling up a piece of parchment and stuffing it into a small tube that looked suspiciously like bone.
Kanawha looked away and saw Lorien trying not to stare himself.
"Miss St. John, do you know what's going on?"
Lorien asked, finally tearing himself away from the shrieks.
"How can rocks and dog spiders come back again?"
"That is the question, isn't it?" Raleigh said, walking back with the tube. "I have my theories, none of them particularly hopeful. It's not by chance, I think, that all these creatures should gravitate toward the Iron Elves and their mission."
Lorien looked quickly at Kanawha, then back to her.
"You know about the star?"
Raleigh chuckled and shook her head.
"Well, if I didn't, I do now,"
Lorien blushed. Raleigh waved away his embarrassment.
"I piece together puzzles for a living, Sergeant Major," she said, holding up the bone for Martimus.
The shrieks opened his mouth, and Raleigh threw it in. He swallowed it in one gulp, his claws digging into Kanawha's arm with increased pressure as he did so.
"All right, then, my darling, time to earn your keep."
Raleigh called Martimus back to her arm and whispered something to it, then flung her arm in the air, propelling the shrieks into the night sky. It opened its wings wide and flapped, the sound reverberating in the clearing like a musket shot. The animal circled once, howled, and then disappeared into the night.
"How long to reach Kalar?" Kanawha asked.
The feeling rushed back into his hand, and he rubbed it casually, noticing that Raleigh showed no signs of discomfort.
2 weeks, maybe more. Depends as much on the weather as any other danger. Now, Raleigh said, clapping her hands, I need to feed Dandy.
Kanawha took another look at the wagon. There was a much larger cage behind the smaller ones under the tarp.
Short for Dandelion. Only eats live meat, that one.
What is he?
Lorien asked, the worry in his voice plain.
"Special," she said, a sly smile on her lips. "Would you like to see him?"
Kanawha bowed his head and started to back away.
"Thank you, Raleigh, but Lorien and I should get back. Another time, perhaps?"
"It's a date,"
Raleigh said, grabbing up some of the legless ferrogs and carrying them back to the wagon.
"Good evening, gentlemen."
Kanawha and Lorien bade Raleigh a good night and quickly walked away.
"Dandy?"
Lorien asked, after they were out of earshot.
"Better not to think about it," Kanawha said, trying very hard to follow his own advice.
"Yes, sir,"
Lorien said, then cleared his throat.
"I have to be honest with you, sir. All these creatures coming back, I don't like it."
Kanawha looked over to see if Lorien was trying to be funny.
"I can't imagine many would, which is why I need you to keep it together. The boys are going to look to you, Lorien, and they need to see you take this in your stride. Tell them you heard the dog spiders broke out of a wizard's private menagerie. Sounds believable enough. Remember a few years back when that ice dragon started building a nest in the royal maze in Selwyn? Turns out a tavern keeper had kept the thing as a pet to keep his wares cold, and the thing got loose."
"But ice dragons are real, sir. Just rare and from the far north. Those dog spiders were supposed to be extinct, and they didn't escape from any zoo."
"I know that, and you know that, and the troops probably know that, too. But if we act as if it's no big thing, they'll take their cue from that. Now, anything else?"
Lorien looked as if he wanted to pursue the issue further, but knew when to let it go.
"About Corporal Critton. The prince wants him flogged at sunup, and we don't have any drummer boys on roll."
Kanawha stopped and let out a deep breath. Traditionally, flogging was carried out by the youngest and smallest members of a regiment. That way a soldier would feel the sting, but the lash wouldn't cut too deep. If his wounds didn't get infected, he would heal and perhaps become a better soldier for it. At least that was the theory. Conover thought flogging a cruel and fool-headed way to discipline soldiers. He had never resorted to it when he had commanded the Iron Elves.
"Find the weakest, sickliest soldier you can and make sure he understands what I want. This is for the prince, so make it look good. And try and let it slip that this is for show. We're trying to stop one rebellion. We don't need to be creating another one in our own ranks."
Lorien nodded.
"I'll take care of it. Anyway, it's a lousy charge, sir. The men know it. And they know you're doing everything you can for them. They won't blame you."
"Critton will," Conover said, looking up at the stars. The acorn against his chest grew a little colder at the thought.